Is there a broken relationship in your life? If so, you'll want to keep listening as Mary Lohman talks about biblical principles in dealing with broken relationships. I'm Julie Bastide, and you're listening to The Christian Working Woman, a radio program for workplace Christians that has been broadcasting since 1984. Mary, that's a long time to be on the air, over 37 years now.
It really is. But you know, it seems like maybe 10 years, Julie. The time has flown by, and I'm so grateful for God's faithfulness to keep our ministry going all these years. We're supported by our listeners and people who believe in what we're doing, and so they are partners with us.
Well, your topic today, dealing with broken relationships, is certainly one that many can relate to.
Unfortunately, that's right. Broken relationships create all kinds of problems, whether they are work relationships or in the family, or maybe just a casual friend. It's highly likely that many of our listeners have had some broken relationships in their lives. Perhaps they do even now.
And these broken relationships can be so very painful. So we are eager to hear your thoughts on this today.
Broken relationships come in all sizes and descriptions. For example, a woman told me about a broken relationship with her brother. Because she doesn't speak to him any longer, she wasn't going to take part in her family's Christmas celebration as usual because her brother would be there. Now, that not only affected her enjoyment of an important family get-together, but her young sons would also miss out on that family occasion. A friend of mine is in the midst of a broken marriage relationship, a marriage of over 30 years. It's not her fault that the relationship is broken, and she's doing what she can to repair it. But her pain has been palpable as she deals with the brokenness of this long-term, most intimate of all relationships, her marriage. Another friend was downsized from her organization, and she felt the decision was extremely unfair. It came from people she had trusted as friends. But now that work relationship is severed, and it's caused ongoing hard feelings between her and the management she once respected. Though some time has passed since this relationship was severed, the memories are still painful. I think of two friends who are still friends, but something happened a few years ago where one felt she had been betrayed by the other. Though I think it was basically one of those terrible misunderstandings of life, the friendship has never really been the same since then. Think of the broken relationships in your own world, whether they are yours personally or those you're aware of. Consider the ripple effect that broken and hurting relationships have, not only on the people directly involved, but inevitably on many others as well. Are we doomed to have to live with these broken relationships? What is our duty and responsibility as Christ followers to mend a broken relationship? Well, consider what Jesus taught us to do when a relationship has been broken or wounded from Matthew 5. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Notice that Jesus is talking to religious people, and that would seem to indicate that even committed people who are trying to do the right thing will have relationship struggles. I think Jesus is also telling us that mending broken relationships takes priority even over religious activities and duties. He's teaching us that mending broken relationships has a very high priority in his mind. Well, since Jesus says that if you remember that your brother has something against you, it must mean that it's possible to forget that you have a broken relationship. Now, you may ask, how could you forget a broken relationship? Well, since they are so painful, we can sometimes find ways to put them out of mind instead of dealing with them. Here are some of the methods people may use to forget about those hurting relationships. You stay very busy, even if you have to create unnecessary activity. I've noticed that when I want to put off an unpleasant task, I use busyness as an excuse. And can I ever generate busyness when I want to? My guess is you've done the same thing. Or you convince yourself there's nothing that can be done about it. You try to rationalize away the need to be reconciled by convincing yourself it would be an exercise in futility. Or you decide that since you didn't cause the problem, you shouldn't be the one to initiate the reconciliation. This is one of our favorite cop-outs when it comes to reconciliation. Shouldn't the person who has the problem initiate any reconciliation? Seems right to us. So we forget about that broken relationship. Or you find other relationships to fill the gap in your life. Often people look for substitute activities or people to take up the slack of a broken relationship. When it's a romantic relationship, you often find a rebound relationship to take its place. And that need to find a replacement relationship often leads to very poor choices. Jesus said we are to go to anyone who has something against us. Now, exactly who would that include? Well, it includes those whose feelings are hurt because of you, or those with whom you've had a misunderstanding that's not been clarified, those people to whom you spoke hastily chosen words that were not appropriate and maybe caused anger or pain, or those who feel you've treated them unfairly or neglected them, even if you haven't, just to mention a few. Any people in your life that fit that description? Have you been forgetting that they have something against you, sticking your head in the sand, as we say, so as not to have to face that unpleasant reality? Notice that Jesus didn't limit it to those who have something legitimate against us or those who have a right to have something against us. No, he says if you know that someone has something against you, whether it's your fault or not, then you take action. This seems unrealistic, maybe even unfair and unreasonable, doesn't it? Well, that's because the principles of Scripture are not based on pop psychology or current opinion polls. And very frequently, God's ways are just not our ways. Indeed, they are frequently the opposite of what we would consider reasonable. So if you're committed to being an obedient disciple of Jesus Christ, be prepared for the fact that you'll frequently be going against what your friends and counselors might tell you. Earthly counselors would be more likely to say, if someone has something against you and it's not your fault, well, it's just not your problem. Let him or her make the first move. But that's not the way Jesus would deal with a broken or wounded relationship. Keep in mind that the Lord knows what works. Not only are his ways right, they work, as unreasonable as they may seem to our small minds. So by faith, you need to be prepared to go to someone who has something against you, even if what they have against you is unfair or not true. Jesus also made it clear that being reconciled was very important when he said, "Leave your gift there in front of the altar and go." Basically, he was teaching us to drop what we're doing and go be reconciled. Make it a very high priority and don't put it off. When you procrastinate in being reconciled, all kinds of problems are created. The break in the relationship grows deeper and wider. The reason for the break is exaggerated and amplified way beyond reality. Innocent people are hurt because the relationship is not reconciled. Gossip and backbiting increase. It causes church and family splits, and most tragically, it adversely affects your testimony for Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "First go." That's a directive, right? Not a suggestion, but a direct command. And who is to go? We are. We should make the first move, even if we're not the one at fault. The Master said, "You make that first effort to be reconciled, and do so quickly." Now, that's obviously a very humbling thing to do. Why is it important for us to be willing to humble ourselves? Well, the Bible teaches us that if we humble ourselves, we won't have to be humbled. Have you learned that lesson a time or two? I certainly have. Whenever I refuse to humble myself, I discover that sooner or later, that humbling comes in a much more painful way. So humbling ourselves is easier than being humbled. And secondly, humbling ourselves is learning to bring our old prideful self into submission and to become more like Jesus. Jesus is our ultimate role model in humility, as you think about how he humbled himself in order to take on flesh and come to earth. Nothing we ever do to humble ourselves could come close to what he had to do in order to become our Savior. And most of the time when we humble ourselves, it's because we deserve it. Jesus didn't deserve the humility that he assumed. So as painful as it may seem, humbling yourself is a wonderful spiritual discipline that leads to a closer relationship with the Lord as you share with Him in His suffering. Now, I want to make clear that there's a difference between humbling yourself and allowing others to humiliate you. God has not called us to suffer intentional abuse in our relationships. There is no justification for allowing yourself to become a doormat. In fact, that is dishonoring to God because it dishonors His creation in you. So where is this line between humbling ourselves and allowing someone to humiliate us? Well, that's a question that would have to be considered in each situation. But if you will pray and sincerely ask God to give you guidance, and then perhaps seek some biblical advice from trusted friends or counselors, God will give you directions in your relationship concerning whether you are humbling yourself or allowing yourself to be treated wrongly and humiliated. Well, our time is about up, so I will complete this topic next week. We're going to talk about how we go to the person to whom we need to be reconciled and what we can expect. So I hope you'll plan to be with me again. But meanwhile, this week, pray about the broken relationships in your life, if there are any. Just be honest before God and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What are the first steps that you want me to take to try to make this relationship better, to try to improve it, to at least do whatever I can to reconcile? God will honor you if you will be willing to humble yourself and go to that person in sincerity, with humility, and try to reconcile. It's a wonderful testimony to the power of the gospel, really, when we as Christ followers are reconciled to others. It just shows that Jesus makes a difference and He can heal relationships when nobody else can. So once again, just take those broken relationships in your life and ask God to reveal the steps that you should take in trying to be reconciled. And then next week, we'll give you some more practical advice from the Word of God on how you take those steps and what's important when you do. I hope you'll join me again next week.
That's a good assignment, Mary, to pray about any broken or wounded relationships and be willing to humble ourselves and make the first move toward reconciliation. If you'd like to have a copy of this message, you'll find it on our website at christianworkingwoman.org. And are you dealing with broken relationships in your own life with a coworker, spouse, parent, or child? We'd like to offer you a book that can help you. The Relationship Principles of Jesus by Tom Holliday could revolutionize your relationships with God and with others. This book provides the essential ingredients to deepen and strengthen every relationship in your life. For a donation of any amount, we will send this book to you. You can order it online at christianworkingwoman.org, or you can call us at 630-462-0552. We would be privileged to pray for you also. We meet regularly as a staff to pray for the needs of our listeners, and you can call us with a prayer request or submit one through our website. Again, that's christianworkingwoman.org. I'm Julie Bastide, and you've been listening to Mary Lohman. Hope you'll plan to be with us again next week when Mary will complete her message on dealing with broken relationships. We'll be here at this same time next week, so join us for The Christian Working Woman.